podcast 21. This is Funky Kit. My nose is blocked and I'm going to be snorting loads. I'm Loily.
I'm Winston, yes. And yes, today we've got some great articles. No reviews, I'm afraid, but just great articles. Basically, last week we kind of dried up with all the review samples. Yes, I've been working non-stop. However, next week we've got some reviews. MSI products, motherboards and graphics cards, and also some exclusive event coverage at the IDF Beijing. So yes, check out those articles next week for those. For this week, we have an article on on some of the Android stuff and how iPhone versus Android, the battle is heating up. There's a great article from Bob Nova about the CPU cores, the threads. What does that all mean? Well, go check out the article from Bob Nova. Explains it a little bit by bit, and then, yeah, very interesting article there. I've also written an article on how to connect to watch BBC iPlayer if you're abroad. Because remember, ooh, BBC iPlayer is only available in the UK.
And if you're taxpayers.
If you're abroad, you're not available to get this service. However, connecting through a VPN proxy connection allows you to access BBC iPlayer. However, there are three types of VPN connections you can get. You can get the free ones, which
crap.
Yes, very slow, and doesn't support BBC iPlayer. I tried a lot of them, and they're very, very crap. And then it's the other one where you can set up your home VPN network and proxy service. However, very, very technically demanding. You need to know exactly what you're doing. You need to set up your own proxy server, and then you go reroute this, reroute that. And it is very technically demanding. If you know what you're doing, yes, of course, you can do it. However, you need a PC running 24/7, and it also could be detrimental to your costs in terms of electric bill, and also you might get into trouble with your ISP, your service provider, because terms of conditions, you're actually breaching that TOCs. And the other alternative is actually sign up to a paid subscription to a VPN. Yeah, subscription.
My name is Winston.
Subscription to a VPN proxy service. Yes, it does cost you, but it provides you a reliable, secure connection, and they tend to be quite fast because you're paying, of course, for that service. I've tried a few. There's a couple of ones that I've tried with a 10-day free trial. One of them is called Identity Cloaker, yes. 10 days free trial, and you could watch BBC iPlayer. Not bad. But thereafter, then, it's about £6, £6-7. Oh, actually, no, less than that. Just over £5 a month. Yeah. So it's not bad.
Anyway,
check out the
details.
Articles at the website. So yes, all those great articles at funkykit.com. Yeah. Okay. For Loy, what have you got for us?
Well, like you said, there's lots going on with Google. Google contradicting themselves and saying one thing, doing another thing, then saying another thing. So that's the main story. The other story is maybe some iPad. Where's the iPhone? And then some just bits and pieces. Pretty quiet this week, I think. Nothing not that interesting.
Well, commercially to PCs, right? Commodore. You heard of Commodore?
Commodore 64.
Yes. This is now Commodore USA. They've been bankrupt 3 times, changed different companies.
Okay.
And now it's Commodore USA. And this Commodore USA now have introduced this, yes, Commodore 64, but it's a PC-based with an Intel Atom processor and NVIDIA graphics built in.
They're actually calling it a Commodore 64.
I'm not 100% sure, but probably along those lines, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Apparently, it's got a built-in Commodore 64 emulator. But I don't see the point of that.
Yeah.
But well, I guess you,
there's a lot of loyal followers out there, so I'm sure someone will like enjoy that.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, it's a PC, but it's in the shape of a Commodore 64. Not the old, you know, the big chunky keyboard thing. It's got the same kind of like feel to it, but it's more sleek. It's got a dark chassis, and the keyboard and blah blah blah. So yeah, it looks pretty decent. It's like how those old systems used to be, the all-in-one blocks.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like that. Yeah.
Okay.
So, interesting.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and there's the other story is the. Well, you mentioned Google. I'll let you talk about that. Playbook. Yes. RIM, BlackBerry's Playbook. Now, it's supposed to be released in the next 2 weeks. However, we haven't seen any press release. We haven't seen any videos. We haven't seen any ads. My guess is that they've spent so much money on developing it and producing it that they
can't afford the rest.
Exactly. And you know as well as I do, advertising is and marketing is massive. You need to have a good marketing and advertising strategy. Otherwise, your product is kind of sidelined. Yeah.
Yeah, but then this is BlackBerry at the end of the day, and they've had so much free publicity, don't forget.
I think business users will definitely hook it up. No problem with that. You know,
And that's one area that BlackBerry kick ass at. They're striking these deals with these big corporate companies.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is it. I mean, corporate companies is... if you look at any major city and you go to any office, you know that PCs will always be around.
Yeah?
And then also... what PCs are good at, obviously Excel, Office, emails, and the emails is the main thing. And then you've got BlackBerry, which is emails. That's the main thing. So they'll be around. No problem with that. So tell us a bit more about this Google Android and what's happening with...
Well, you brought this up in the pre-show.
Pre-show, yeah.
And yeah, well, first of all, Android Honeycomb 3.0. is not officially going to be released to the open source community.
Yeah, Honeycomb.
So
yeah.
Google's official voice on this said that, you know, we're holding it back a little bit longer. You know, we're not releasing it yet. So we're going to do some more tweaks and get it, you know, working really well and blah, 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 blah. But, you know, we'll release it to a couple of the vendors to see what they, you know, can do with it.
I think what they're trying to do is to have a polished OS for the tablet so that it could kick ass or versus against the iPad, and which is a good thing because then you know that then the Android Honeycomb, which is, well, they say specifically designed for tablets, will have a chance to compete with the iPad, right? And that's iOS to get the same or similar user experience and the smoothness.
So is this your way of saying that they are feeling the strain?
I think
feeling the pressure from Apple iPad.
I think if the Honeycomb can be tweaked in such a way that it can compete against the iPad in terms of user experience, the smoothness, I think the people could sway over.
Do you think so? Even though, you know, because okay, yes, if they may nail this 100%, you know, 200%, this OS is kick ass and everything, but then. All these people who've actually bought into the iPad and they've invested all their money on these applications.
Oh, no, don't get me wrong. I mean, there's going to be, obviously, the big, strong following for Apple. But what I'm saying is, if you have two competition, a choice, that would, and a choice which is comparable, then I wouldn't mind. I mean, I'll think, okay, which one would suit me best? You know I'm a PC man, right? So, and Apple, yes, of course, is good. I mean, I use an iPhone, but, you know, with documents and things like that, and email, Gmail, that's all Google, right? Gmail, Maps, and all that kind of stuff. You got Google Docs. Hey, do you think Honeycomb would be more good for that kind of, yeah?
No, yeah, of course. I see that side of things. But then, still, at this point, there's no competitors to the iPad. And there's nobody.
At the moment.
Even, you know, the Samsung... Samsung Galaxy Tab. There was a lot of noise when they came out and they were quoting these big numbers and everything. But what happened to them? They disappeared.
But remember, they were on the Android OS 2.2 or 2.1. But the Honeycomb, the Android 3.0, is meant to be the OS designed for tablets. And with that, should hopefully be on the same sort. I'm not saying same level, but more of a, at least they have some sort of, you know, bit of ammo to fight against the iPad. Yeah.
But then you got to remember, like, iPads on version 2. You know, version 1 went stupidly strong. Version 2 is going to go even stronger. And then, you know, if you're still not going to release something that's going to compete with their second iteration, Apple's second iteration, then by the time you do come out to the mass market, which is Google's advantage, right, is reaching all these different devices all at the same time to compete with Apple's one product, then you're going to be that bit extra behind. Think about it. They've announced the worldwide release of the iPad 2. Yet, at the moment, it's still not available in Hong Kong, but it is available in Hong Kong because you can buy it everywhere. Grey imports from America. So it's not as if like this iPad 2 is not getting around in the, you know,
different countries. The thing with what's so attractive, as I said, about the Android platform, and if the Honeycomb 3 does come out with all the smoothness and the little tweaks, it's because Google has such a foothold on everything. I mean, their Gmail is massive user base. They got obviously the maps. They've got the Google Docs now. I mean, I see a lot of people using just Google Docs rather than just Word and Excel, because they can download it through their Gmail and just access it, edit and view it straight away without even loading the Word.
Yeah, but these are side projects. They don't make any money for Google, really.
It's usability from it. That's all. I mean, if you go to your iPad and download a Word document, you can only view it, right? Oh yeah, it's some applications you can download to and pay and read it, view it, and edit it. But with the Gmail system, you can do it there and then. We know. So that's an advantage they have. We'll see. We'll see how it develops. Yeah. But I think it could be another 6 months to a year before it really kicks off, I think.
6 months to a year, that's gonna be almost iPad 3 territory.
6 months for the I would say 6 months, but it could be shorter. But who knows? Who knows?
Okay, and what about Chrome OS then? You know, now they've they haven't officially announced it, but there's rumors of like Chrome OS being, you know, upgraded with like touch features and being, you know, compatible with tablets and everything. It's already on like lots of the netbooks and stuff like that. And it hasn't really, has it been officially released, Chrome OS, or is it still like in beta type download?
I think it's still on beta, but there's a Google CR48, which is the netbook.
Yeah.
And I really haven't got a clue what they're trying to do there.
Because if isn't that just like a contradiction to all these developers who are trying to pick, already they're confused, like, do we follow Apple or do we follow Android? You know, we're not at the, you know, we're still early, you know, small developers, so we shouldn't really concentrate on both. But then Google comes along and says, look, we've got another platform where yet you can make money and yet you can program and yet it's different screen size and yet it's got different coding or whatever.
Well,
different.
I think, to be honest, Chrome OS is, I think what's behind it is Android, basically. And I think so.
It's the Chrome browser, isn't it? It's based on the Chrome browser.
It's based on the Chrome browser, but then the engine behind it is I think is very similar. I don't think they're gonna. You say it's gonna be on tablets, but I think they're gonna keep it on netbooks, possibly.
But then why can't they take Android Honeycomb and port that over to tablets and netbooks?
I have no idea. Maybe it's the same as like, you know, when you have iOS and then on tablets and iPhones and portable devices, and you have Mac OS X on their MacBooks. And
that's a clean definition, though. Come on.
OS, yeah, X. It is. I suppose.
I just think that they may be like shooting themselves in the foot a little bit and confusing people, and they're not being very clear in the terms of the direction that they're saying, you know, that they go.
You know, maybe it's like one of those open egg baskets. They don't want to put everything in one basket. They want to spread bits of things around, see which one develops better or faster and stronger, and then they'll decide. But at the moment, it looks like the Android is still churning ahead at full speed. So we'll see. I mean, a recent report that shows that Android is pushing ahead. HTC, for example, has become one of the, well, actually overtaken Nokia now in terms of smartphones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's just a bit of an interesting news there.
Well, that's manufactured, though, but then Nokia's still got a huge percentage of usership.
Yeah, not smartphone, but normal mobile phones, GSM style, you know, those type. But smartphones, yeah.
HTC make standard phones?
Most of the ones I know is just smartphones, touchscreen and the you know the keyboard QWERTY ones, but very popular in the States, a huge with the, you know, with all the Verizon and Sprint carriers, but yeah, we'll see how that develops. You know,
I mean, this is a really interesting topic, but it's very confusing as well. I don't know if I could follow it really.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if Android will I wouldn't say overtake. I would probably overtake Apple. It's because not everybody. You think, yeah, Apple's a great product and great OS, great products and usability and so on. However, it's just an Apple. What you're buying is an Apple, right? Whereas if you sit out, oh, I want to go for an Android phone, you have lots of choice. You can choose a Samsung, you can choose a HTC, you can choose a Motorola, LG. LG now have just released their dual core smartphone, Optimus X2. In 2 weeks' time, Samsung released the Galaxy S2, which is a dual core.
Is that the 10-inch one or the 7-inch one?
Oh, not tablets, smartphone.
Or the in-between one. Oh, smartphone.
Smartphone, yeah. And then Motorola's got the Atrix 4G. Not 4G, 4G, but it's the dual-core smartphone. The 4G LTE, they're already beginning trials in the US. It won't be until the end of the year before anyone starts really pushing the 4G LTE connections on their mobiles. As far as tablets, iPad is still steaming ahead, and our tablets.
I wouldn't say they're steaming ahead either. They're just going in whatever direction they're going, whether it be ahead, backwards. But there's no competition.
Well, that's it. They're steaming ahead because there's no competition.
Still, there's no. I'm surprised, man. This is version 2, and we've seen all those tablets at CES and all these other shows that's happened since then, and still there's no competition out there. What's going on, guys?
I'd love
someone to just make something. Just come on, it can't be that hard, can it?
Well, it is because not it is, but the reason why is because Apple has a massive user base, right, of users and customers and so on, and the software and what's really pushing Apple or big, you know, the beginning winners and they like years ahead is because the App Store. So if Android can sort out their App Store, then I think it can compete in some way. But until that happens, I think it's maturing, and it's maturing at a good rate. But again, it's like the Big Brother. He's 4 years older than you, and how are you going to get there? You know. But once you hit 20, that's 20, and your older brother's 24, a similar age, right? So, yeah.
That made no sense whatsoever, Winston.
Well, it's the same as, like I said, if you're an eight-year-old, or a nine-year-old and your brother's a teenager, there's a big difference, right? Yeah?
Yeah.
But when you hit the 20s, you're both 20s, right? You don't look at, oh yeah, he's 4 years older than me. You're 20s. So therefore, you got like that...
So you're saying Android has to wait till you're 20?
No.
You're going to get good.
What I'm saying is you will have that development time and that sort of catching up for phase. Once you have that mature market on both ends, then that's where... You will have a more of a balance, but right now Apple is the clear winner right now. So give it a year for the Android to mature a little bit, their App Store to mature a little bit.
How many years have we been saying that though? Come on.
Anyway. About a year, and another year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, so on other news, have you heard of the Pogo plug before?
Pogo plug. What's that?
Pogo plug is a device. You plug into your external hard drive at home, and then it gives you access to it anywhere that there's internet access. So you have, basically, you set up your own cloud storage.
Right, okay.
Free of charge.
But then isn't that device has to be connected to an internet connection?
Yeah, of course. So your internet goes into that. And then if your computer's turned off, then the PogoPlex is still connected to the hard drive because the hard drive is connected to that. And then the PogoPlex connects your computer. So even if your computer's turned off, as long as you've got internet access, say, in your office or you're abroad on holidays, you can access your PogoPlex, which therefore is connected to your hard drive. So you've got all your, you know, movies and stuff. So they've just...
It's basically like a online...
It's like a big Dropbox.
Right, okay.
Yeah, but they've upgraded it now and it offers like video streaming as well. So rather than just downloading the stuff, you can stream your actual or video content straight from that. And with an upgrade as well, that they've got Pogo plugs with built-in hard drives. So you don't need an extra external hard drive. You just buy the pro version of the Pogo plug. They go up to like 2 terabyte drives and then you can just plug that into your home internet and then you can access that anyway.
Yeah, I suppose it's a good idea because then you can carry that with you just in case.
you don't need to carry it with you, do you?
Yeah. What I'm saying is there's services out there which allows you that, you know, for example, Amazon's offering 5 gig of cloud storage and you don't, you know, you just access it online. But this device allows you to use it as an external drive, right, as well? Yes? No?
Yes.
Yeah. So you can use it as an external hard drive as well if you wanted, and then take it anywhere, really. Whereas, yeah. And if just it's just in case you've got some important private documents down there that you don't want to share or put it on to cloud.
But if you're dealing with someone like, say, you're a photographer and you're dealing with a lot of clients, then you don't need to worry about, you know, okay, we've did this shoot, then I can just plunk it on there and then you can, you know, and then you go to see the client, you can just, you know, download the file straight onto their computer or whatever.
How do you find, for example, you use Dropbox a lot, right?
Yes.
How do you find putting your personal data on there? Would you?
Yes, everything is on there.
But then Dropbox is a server somewhere which you don't have no control of, isn't it?
Okay, look, I'm not like an investment banker. I don't have, you know, this super uber sensitive data that I need to worry about. So what's the big issue?
So this device that you're talking is exactly for those people who have sensitive information, right? That doesn't want to put onto Dropbox or those free online services, isn't it?
But you have to remember, I think, no, well, it's questionable, right? I'm not sure how the security works for the Pogo plug. But then anything you allow access to the internet is as equally as insecure as any other service out there who have hosted their own on someone else's server or your computer. As long as your computer is connected to the internet, then that data is equally accessible if someone really wants to access that data. That's my view.
Which brings me to another story where Google and Facebook and a lot of other sort of companies like that are actually suing the French government over privacy issues. Well, the French government wants access to everything that they need. For example, if they want to find out who you, for example, they say, for example, they're investigating you. Yeah, they want to find out all your emails. They want to check out all your emails. They want to check out your phone numbers, your email addresses, what sites you've been connecting to, what the searches stuff you've done on your Google searches, etc. All the Facebook people that you've contacted with. So all those information, right, the French government wants access to. Do you think that's right or wrong?
Wrong. Any government that requests data from, you know, these services, it's wrong.
Okay. it's pretty bad, right?
Yeah. They've got no reason to want it. If there was a murder case or something like that, then this is a different case, you know, completely. Then, yes, they should have access to it. But then...
I mean, just say, for example, I mean, how many, you know, I'm not saying I haven't done it. I mean, when I was younger, I do it all the time. Obviously, those are my past.
Do what? Like, strip down naked and run around in the street?
No, I mean, download pirated software, videos and movies. You know, those are stuff where, you know, well, I'm going to say kids do. But, you know, when you're in your college days, that's what I did. So now imagine that they were tracking those people. And then,
well, isn't France one of those countries who went through and activated the street strikes rule? So if you get 3 warnings from an ISP of like illegal activity online,
all right, and they
you lose your internet access for life.
For life?
For life.
Serious?
You get banned from the internet.
What the fuck? Serious? What the? That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know how far the actual law went, but then it went quite far the last time I followed it. So, yes. And this is like a complaint by not just your ISP. Anybody can make this complaint.
Oh, man, that's a bit over the top, right?
Well, yeah. Exactly. So, this all comes back to the argument of net neutrality and all that rubbish.
Yeah, I mean, it's so difficult to find out what the you know, how do you know? What do you do? I mean, is it safe? Is it not safe? I mean, and especially with your information. I mean, my information gets shared anyway. I don't really care about my information. But when it comes to like bank stuff, when it comes to your personal data stuff about your family, about your you know, really sensitive issues and topics and information that you know. I mean, they can access all that.
Yeah, but then, yes, they can access all that, but then at the end of the day, it's the government. Once they get this data, they haven't got a fucking clue what to do with it anyway.
Well, in UK, for example, I know they've got a data center somewhere in Oxford or Cambridgeshire, somewhere in the middle of the countryside. It's a massive data center, and it's obviously a government-run data center where they actually all traffic, but they can... they can basically clone the entire ISP's data stuff on their servers. So if they needed anything, they could really take it. But who knows? Who knows?
Yeah.
I think it's wrong, I suppose. I mean, the good old days was that you had everything on paper. You print it out and then you could, like, you know, you carry it in a folder. And you could carry that in, and but now it's all, everything's online, you know. I mean, how many times have I stored all my documents and my, you know, personal CV information, you know, your documents, and then you just leave it in your Dropbox. So.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, what are you going to keep in your Dropbox that is that important, you know? Because it's like... It's like when, you know, in just generally when people talk about their secrets to another friend, if you're willing to tell that other person, you have to be willing for that person to be telling someone else.
Mm.
You know, that's my view. It's same with the data as well. So if you're going to put it somewhere where it's accessible, if someone really wanted to, then you've got to expect.
Yeah.
You know.
Which is why Skype don't have a record button. Have you noticed?
But that's to do with the law.
Well, this is it. I mean, when you say that you record, well, you have a conversation, for example, me and you, and there's no way of clicking a record button because you're not allowed to record a conversation unless you tell the other party, right, first?
Yeah, legally.
Legally.
And a lot of these paid programs that enable Skype to record, when you press the record button, they actually announce that this call is being recorded.
Yeah. Well, this program I'm using is like an add-on to Skype, and it kind of like, as soon as you start the conversation, it actually automatically records into and dumps it into either a WAV file or an MP3. So, which is what we need to do because we're recording this podcast over Skype, and you know, obviously the listeners who's followed us all the way back from podcast number one knows the technical issues that we've been through, but it's working nice
to go through.
Yeah, we did try a third party, a third person joining, and it does work. And it's like a conference call kind of thing, but it's all recorded. And we had Herman last week or the week before.
Yeah, last week. But then he was being stubborn and a bit drunk, and he was on his mobile phone via Skype. All
right. Okay, true. So, but yeah, so that kind of works, no problem. Oh, I'll tell you a little bit more about the the IDF event, which we'll be attending next week. This is the first event of the year for Intel, and hopefully we'll see some nice hardware and demos. The second one they have is in San Francisco towards the end of the year, but this one should showcase, this Intel should showcase a lot of their new hardware. Obviously the rumors are the new Cedar Trail and Oak Trail Atom processors, the mobile platform processors, so we'll see some of them, and hopefully we'll catch a glimpse of the Ivy Bridge, which is Sandy Bridge next generation. Sandy Bridge, as you know, was released at the end, beginning of the year.
Yeah.
Based on the 32 nanometer technology, built-in graphics core, so yeah, very interesting. But they had an issue with the chipset problem on the motherboards, which took them, I say, a good 3 months back, because now a lot of the motherboards coming out now have got the new chipset, the new revision, but then it kind of like kicked Intel back a little bit because of the costs involved.
What was the cost, man, to correct all this? It
was aimed at 700 million, but I think it's gone past a billion now.
Yeah.
So that's
insane fuck up.
Yeah, they didn't realize how big it was. They thought it was just a software fix, but then it wasn't. It has to be a physical chipset. IC.
The actual silicon.
Yeah, and they had to recompensate a lot of the manufacturers, which was a big thing for them. With that happening, in AMD, then their competitor took advantage of all this, mix up with Intel.
It'd be stupid if they didn't.
Well, they did anyway, and what they did was to create a better mobile platform. They call them the APU, Accelerated Processing Unit. And what it did is basically shrunk everything into a small single die, and has built-in AMD graphics. It's supposed to be faster, smaller, smoother, and cooler in terms of temperature, as well as energy efficient. So we've seen a couple of demos online, and it does kick the Atom's ass, Intel's Atom's. Forget it.
Yeah.
This AMD Llano, they call it, APU, is going to be a major step for AMD. And that will be coming out in the next week, or maybe next month, actually. But yeah, those are what AMD's been working on. Mobile chips, because I think they see a market there. But as far as desktop PCs is concerned, they've got this new core called Bulldozer, which is like a 6-core and 8-core equivalent to Intel Core processors. So we'll see how that develops. In terms of desktop processors, AMD has always been lagging behind Intel. But since Intel had this problem with the chipset and the Sandy Bridge, they've been a lot of people switching over. So we'll see. We'll see how that develops. But the new thing that the IDF in Beijing should, or hopefully we'll see, is the new next platform, next generation platform, which is the Ivy Bridge, based on the 22 nanometer technology. And apparently you get about 40% or possibly more performance over your Sandy Bridge.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
So so interesting topics and issues there. So we'll hopefully give you some videos, we'll get some photos, and we'll do some articles for you about that next week.
Next week, yeah.
Yeah, great. Great stuff. Oh, okay. On the site, there's a competition, as you all know. It's win a pair of Crucial Ballistics Tracer DDR3 RAM, DDR3 1600. These ones have LEDs, flashing LEDs. Make sure a PC looks very nice. DDR3, they're 4 gig kits, so 2 times 2 gig. So all you have to do is join or like our Facebook page, and then sign up to our emails and newsletter, and your name will be automatically entered in our free prize draw. So do that.
Cool.
And the other, it was not so much a competition, it was more of a special offer. Beyond Technologies is offering a Tsunami chassis, like a gaming case, with a CPU cooler for just 99 pence. It's UK only though. So UK listeners, here's a chance for you. Last day tomorrow. sign up and get yourself a new case and a new CPU cooler for just 99 pence. Yes. Yeah.
How did you swindle this then?
Well, they offered it's almost such a deal. They said, okay, we like your site. We want to offer your members, forum members, and readers something, you know, to give back to our community, which, you know, which is quite good. They got 10 of these cases and 10 of these fans, a case and a fan, obviously, bundle, to give away to 10 customers. So, yes, you have to pay for it, but it's 99 pence. So why not? But UK only, though. Yeah. So that's good. However, don't be sad because you're not in the UK. In the future, I would say near future, next maybe in the next week or a couple of weeks time, we'll have some competitions and free prize giveaways as well as special offers for worldwide. So we're working on a couple of deals with some of the US vendors to see if they can give us something special like that. Whereas you sign up, you join, and you be a part of this community, and you can get some special offers.
Ah, sweet. That's good.
Great. So anything happening in the Mac world?
Not really. Everything's quiet, right? Waiting for the bloody WWDC. So.
Oh, when is that happening?
I can't remember. June.
Okay.
So yes, we obviously typical Apple. They haven't told us much.
So still prediction? No iPhone 5.
No. Okay. There's no obvious hint to an iPhone 5.
But they there's been rumors or some leaked images of a Nano with the camera.
Ugh,
and it's got touch capacitive, like, you know. All
see
that.
What I really think about that. BS, complete BS. Because if they were really going to do a cheaper version of the iPhone, wouldn't they just keep producing the iPhone 4, as in, you know, keep the iPhone 4 and then, you know, produce the iPhone 5 or keep 3GS? Because that would make a lot more sense. They don't have to, you know, redesign their manufacturing system because they're already producing the product. That would make more sense, wouldn't it, logically?
Well... No? Well, the thing is, it's because, you know, when they make the iPhone, for example, the iPhone 3GS, they had a lot of these, they had to buy a lot of components, right? So they had to buy a lot of components, such as the 3.2 megapixel cameras.
Oh, come on.
No, seriously.
And I know.
They have a lot of this inventory in the factories unused. So why, they're not going to just chuck that away or even sell it cheap. We might as well put it into something that they have, or what they call a next gen Nano. They might as well put that in there and use up the inventory, right?
you're like some garage workshop dude.
Seriously, that's what they do.
No, yeah, yes, but then Apple's in the position where they wouldn't do this because that's
cost effective. They have to, because they're not going to just chuck away all that 3.2 megapixel camera just lying.
No, they wouldn't. They'd probably sell it back to the companies.
They could sell it. They could sell it, but they probably use it.
Come on, they're not that tight ass. They got all that money in the bank.
Write it off, but then might as well use it and put it into the Nano, right?
You're such a cowboy, man. I swear to God. Yeah. Winston the cowboy. See, that now we know why Winston's a PC guy and I'm a Mac guy.
I'm telling you, mate, the stuff you can do on a PC outstrips the Mac, I'm telling you. Yeah.
And what's your primary computer at the moment?
PC, MacBook, netbook, notebook, actually.
A notebook, exactly.
Yeah.
So, what's all this about a PC then?
Well, I have a PC in the lab just to test all the bits. And, I mean, could you do SLI or Crossfire X on the Mac?
Do you play games, Winston?
Well, I do like a look at the screenshots of the...
exactly.
and test bench, yeah.
Am I blowing your cover? Oops.
Well,
we both had that, you know, gaming backgrounds, and this is why we're doing stuff like this, and this is why I have all this random knowledge. Maybe it doesn't make any sense, and maybe it's out of date, but yeah, we both come from a gaming background, so this is why we've been tweaking all these stupid PCs for so many years. But I got to the point where I'm like, look, really, it's been 4 months. I don't want to format my computer again, so I'm gonna go with the Mac.
Oh, just to get you, let you listeners know out there, our resident editor Bob Nova has been doing He's been doing a great job. News posting, article writing, is amazing. We've agreed to actually send him some samples for review. So.
Yep. A different voice from the reviews. I think it's going to, you know, add a little bit of spice now. So
exactly, yeah. So hopefully, Bob, obviously you guys know Bob for our forums and through our news posts and things like that. So this will be his first couple of reviews, and obviously comments, feedback, and any suggestions welcomed. So, you know, we could give him some feedback on the reviews that he's done. That won't happen probably for the next couple of weeks, but we'll keep you up to date with that. And hopefully, if he's happy with the workflow of these reviews, we'll be seeing more from him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for all your contribution, Bob Nova.
Yes.
Because it's not hard writing all these words. I mean, it is hard writing all these words.
It is, yeah.
It is hard writing all these words, which is why I don't write.
It's kind of like you need to think from a third person's point of view, and then you got to consider the pro camp and the non pro camp, and then you got to think, okay, and so it's kind of like very third person looking into what, you know, but at the end of the day, you got to look at the results. You put the things to test, you get the results, and then you say, hey, okay, this is better than that. And that is better than this, and then you got to think, okay, price. So
together. If there's any other of you guys out there who are interested in reviewing some products, even if it's a product you've bought yourself or whatever, just send us an email. Where can they contact us, Winston?
You could either contact Loy, L-O-Y, at funkykit.com, or Winston at funkykit.com. It's Winston with just W-I-N-S-T-O-N. No
is
E.
Is it a different way of spelling Winston?
There's one with the E at the end.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, Winston, just Winston. W-I-N-S-T-O-N at funkykit.com. What you could do is send us a sample of your work. It doesn't have to be a huge 10,000 word essay. As long as it's got like a little bit of an intro about what you're going to be reviewing, a little bit of intro about the product brand. You know, for example, if it's an Asus or an MSI, and a little bit about that company.
Couple of pictures, you know, then send it in. We'll put it on the website. We'll publish it under your name as well, so you get credit for it.
Of course, we're not looking for
the credit. We're just looking for different opinions on, you know, different products, because we're one voice. We're not everybody's voice, but we're one voice. This is why we encourage Bob Nova to join the party and anyone else who's willing to contribute.
Yes, yes. And as I said, the intro is fairly important, but then, you know, you write how you want to write it, and then at the end, towards the end, obviously the verdict and what you thought of the product, how it competes with others, and then obviously the value and the price of the product, and you see, you know. And then we could, and then obviously being an editor myself, I'll be going through and then put in all the right bits and pieces in the right places, and then it'll publish it. Exactly what Bob Nova's been doing. He's actually been writing the reviews. He's been publishing it. And then I obviously edited, we'll look into putting all the right bits and pieces in the right places. And then voila, you have an article. And then the last one he's written was a CPU about cores, threads, hyper-threading, you know, something very simple. Kind of like explains a bit about all this CPU business stuff. So yeah, very interesting.
Yeah. So that's about it for this week, I think.
Yeah.
Next week we'll have lots of stuff, like Winston said earlier. Mm-hmm. And
great.
Thanks for listening again.
Thanks for listening. So we'll hopefully see you next week. Don't forget those competitions on our website, and also if you live in the UK, special offer from Beyond Technology. Get the case and CPU cooler for £99. First 10 customers. So make sure you go and check it out. Till then, next week, we'll see you.
Yes. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.